Can have a seat. I wanted to share with you another passage of Scripture, just kind of after coming out of that passage a second ago, and just thinking about how our worship could possibly be detestable to God if we're just not in the right place. And you know, it's really a heart issue. It's not a going through the motions. It's not that raising your hands makes you more, you know, holy or something than somebody else in the room that's worshiping. This is about just where your heart is with the Lord, and if you're open to receiving what He wants to do with your life and with you. And the toughest part sometimes is just to just come face to face with the stuff that keeps us from being the people that God has called us to be. And that's tough sometimes, because a lot of times it's a personal issue of something that's happened in our life, or some, you know, roadblock that has gotten in the way, and we've allowed that to come in between us and the Lord. Now, I don't know what that might be for you this morning. I know what some of mine are, and I constantly struggle with this, and you're going to too. I'm just going to tell you, this is never going to get easy. It's never just going to get to like the point where you feel like you've arrived with your Christian walk. You are constantly, till the day you die, going to be trying the very best that you can to strive to be more and more like Jesus Christ every day. This passage of Scripture, and by the way, these passages I'm reading from this morning, at any point, I could do 10 messages on any of them by themselves, but they're what's on our heart, and that's what we're sharing with you this morning. This passage of Scripture this morning, still from the book of Isaiah, our same prophet, and this is where he gets to come and kind of be with the Lord for a moment here in a vision. It says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of His robe filled the temple." So much I could say about that. "Above Him were seraphs, each with 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their faces, and with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they were flying. And they were calling to one another, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory.' At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. 'Woe to me,' I cried. 'I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty.' Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, 'See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for.' Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' He said, 'Go and tell this people.'" What happened to Isaiah was a moment that we could all only dream for. To get to be that so close to the Lord, to have that experience, to have God come down, send something down to clean us up. It's what dreams are made of. The truth be known is that He's done that for us. We're going to talk about that a little bit more in a minute. But in the meantime, I want you just to kind of just see Isaiah for where he's at and where he comes before the Lord. Because he comes before the Lord and says, "You know what? I'm a man of unclean lips, God. I'm hideous. I'm hideous." And when he says that, and when he gets honest with God, and when he gets real with God, and he quits faking it, and he quits faking his worship, and he quits faking, you know, what's really going on, and he just gets real with God, then God is able to do something miraculous with Isaiah. The forgiveness that he gives Isaiah is because he comes to him humbly, just falling down before God, just saying, "God, here I am. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for being an idiot sometimes." God forgives him. And then he turns around and he says, "I need somebody to go for me. Who wants to do it?" And Isaiah says, "Me. I'll go. I want to be that guy. And this morning, all that stands between God calling you to do something great may be the fact that He's just waiting for you to just show that you're going to be real with Him and that you're not going to play games with Him anymore. That you're just going to fall down before Him and you're just going to say, God, this is me. This is the real me. You already know, but I'm going to get honest with you and I'm going to show it to you and I want you to take it. And God, I'm sorry. Forgive me for being an idiot. And if you can get to that place this morning, if you can get to that place in your daily walk with the Lord, watch out for what God is going to call you to do. Watch out. Because I'm here to tell you this morning that God wants to use every single one of you to do great things. He does not just pick certain people just to do great things. It's about who is available to Him to do great things for He and His kingdom. What is it for you this morning? Band's going to lead us singing. Actually, they're going to sing this song kind of over us. And you may just want to just kind of just bow your head where you're at. You may want to just fall face down. You may want to get in the floor. You may want to get in the corner. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me because you're not doing this for me and you're not doing it for the band. You're not doing it for the church. You're not doing it for the people sitting next to you. You're doing whatever you're about to do because you want to spend some time with God. And you don't need to hold somebody's hand to go do that. You need to go alone and you need to get together before the Lord. Just you and He and just do your thing. Get real with Him. And so if you can do that in your seat, that's cool. If you want to use your seat as an altar, that's cool. Again, if you want to use the floor, it doesn't matter to us. It doesn't make any difference. Our heart is that we all together as a church right now are just kind of falling down before the Lord. And if you want to sing, then you can sing. If you want to just let the band sing over you, let them sing over you. This is your time with the Lord. And just spend these few moments just seeking the Lord with all your heart. With all your heart. And be real. If that's where you're at right now, you don't have to pay any attention to me. If you're hanging out with the Lord, that's awesome. This passage of scripture in the book of Psalm, chapter 48, says, "Great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise in the city of our God, His holy mountain." Great is the Lord, most worthy of our praise. You know, that's tough for us. Because as human beings, we are so ready to give things praise because we were wired up to give God praise. And a lot of times, us giving God praise, that whole being wired up to do that, is kind of like using horsepower for the wrong reason. We become praising the things of this world. We start praising things of this life and the things that we could own or the money we could make or that person that we want to be with. Those become those things. God is the most worthy of all to be praised. And I think for a lot of us, some of the time, some of the reason that it's hard for us to worship might just be the fact that maybe we've just kind of lost sight of that a little bit. We've gotten so caught up with some great things that have gone on in our life that, you know, maybe they're like accomplishments that we've made that we're like, oh man, I accomplished this and I got this title and I got this job. And you know, I was with one of our guys last night. You know, I'm not saying that he's like this because he's so not like this. But, you know, I was just thinking to myself, man, it'd be easy for him to go, man, I got this new work truck. And he did. He got this awesome new work truck. And I'm like, man, you just get to drive this thing for free and that's awesome. And he's like, yeah, I know. It's great, isn't it? Sometimes we just miss the reason why we worship. It's because of God. The book of Psalms has so much in it. In chapter 66, it says this with verse 1. It says, "Shout with joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of His name and make His praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you." And in verse 4, it says, "All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing praise to your name." And we forget about that sometimes, don't we? Because the scripture teaches us all creation gives glory to God. If you look around in nature, nature gives glory to God. If you look around in us, human beings, how God built us, how He wired us, that is giving glory to God. Now, we may take it and we may misuse it from time to time. But everything that He's created, everything on this earth brings Him glory. It brings Him praise, even without us sometimes. This morning, these passages of Scripture give us an inkling and just a sight to just kind of go with, to just kind of be thinking about our mindset as we're worshiping this morning, as we worship in our day-to-day walk with the Lord, as we just worship at work, as we're worshiping at school. To just say to God, God, You are that great. To say some of these things, that we would sing the glory of His name. Make His praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are Your deeds. And how incredible are the things that God has done in our lives. I mean, God has done the most incredible things. I've seen some of the most incredible things just in the life of our church. And in my personal life, some of the things that God has done, how He has saved me, is the most amazing thing to me whatsoever, because I'm an idiot. I feel just like Isaiah most days, just going, God, I'm unclean. I'm an idiot. I did it again. But not only does God save us, but He wants to use us, and He wants us to worship Him, and He wants us to bring Him praise. And this morning we've got opportunity to do that. And we've got an opportunity to tell God how great He is through song. And I want you, if you would, just to just stand up with me, and we're going to continue. You're kind of getting the gist here. We're going back and forth a lot this morning. And I want us just to just praise Him. And you know, when you're thinking about praising God, just remember that it's just between you and Him. You don't even have to look around. If you know the words of the song, you can close your eyes and just focus on Him. Focus on the great things that He's done in your life. Give Him praise for those things. Don't let those things go unnoticed. Say, God, thank You. How awesome You are for doing those things. How awesome You are for being You. How awesome You are for creating nature. How glorious You are. Your majesty is unbelievable. Okay, you can come on with that. His enemies cringe when He gets near them. I mean, come on. That's our God. That's the God that we've been saved by. That's the God that we get here to worship. That's our God. And I don't know about you, but I don't want my worship to be detestable to me. I mean, I'm just going back over this passage of Scripture in my head, and I'm just thinking about how He's just calling these guys out about the offerings that they've been bringing. And it's not an amount thing. It's an obedience thing. It's a heart thing. I've said this before, but, you know, even with your tithe, with your offering, when you bring that, and you bring an offering, you don't give it, because it's not ours to give. It's already His. You got that, right? Because it's a tithe. It's His. He gave everything we've got. It's His. We're bringing it back to Him. And as Scripture teaches us to do that, you know, one of the important things for us to understand that I constantly try to bring up is that it's so important for us to bring our offering with the right heart. And we're not just like clenching on to that thing. We're like, I really need that. Gas went up another 50 million cents this week. He's called us to that. He's called us to be real. He's called us to have a heart that connects with His heart. As you go on in this passage of Scripture in Isaiah chapter 1, where we started out earlier, where, you know, He's basically getting all over these guys, he stops at verse 16 and He says this. And this is so important for us to get. And it's such a breath of fresh air. And it says, wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Just stop doing wrong. That sounds so simple, doesn't it? Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Learn. It's a learned thing. Seek justice. Encourage the oppressed. Oh, now we got to do stuff. Encourage the oppressed. Defend the cause of the fatherless. That's why a bunch of you people need to be adopting some kids, by the way. Plead the case of the widow. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best from the land. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And right there, he's just kind of just plainly putting it out there and just saying, hey, if something's not right with your life, change it. It's your life. Change it. Don't wait for, like, you know, something to come, you know, flying down with some burning coal off of an altar from like thousands of years ago to go, oh, God wants me to change my life. No, he wants you to change it. He's saying it right here. This is for all of us. This is us. And this is where he wants us to be. This is where he wants us to go with our lives. He wants us to grow. He wants our lives to have meaning when it comes to the end. All you got to do is change it. Learn to do right. Stop doing wrong. You got a sin in your life that you're having trouble with? There are things that you could probably do that leads you to falling into that sin that you could probably do to stop you from getting close to it. Things that would just, you know, just be like the rope to keep you from going that far. The barrier. And you could set it up. You could put it in place. I'm constantly counseling couples. And I'm constantly encouraging them to set boundaries with their relationship, especially when it comes to being alone with somebody of the opposite sex or whatever it is. And you do those things because, number one, you respect that person and you love that person that you marry, but even more so because it's one of the best acts of worship that you can do for God. And a lot of people around you won't get why, you know, you're not, you know, willing to ride in a car with somebody else of the opposite sex alone. But you know what? God gets it. And not everybody's going to get it, and that's okay. But God gets it. And your willingness to go to those extents, your willingness to go to those extremes, to allow God to do great things in your life is going to come through, and God is going to use you to do great things because you have brought yourself to a place of protection. And he knows that you're going to be able to handle more. And there's probably not a one of us in here today that honestly could say, Chris, I don't want God to do great things with me. I don't want that. Now, you might be a shy person or whatever, and you think that all great things that God does has to be like out in front of people, and that's not the case at all. Deep down, if you know the Lord, then you want him to do incredible things with your life. You want him to do that. I mean, it's just something that you desire because, I mean, why drive a car unless you can, you know, drive it fast? That's my motto. That's not a good motto, I know. I'm sorry, Carl. Keep it under the speed limit. It's 0 to 60 is what matters. Just don't turn the tires over. But you know, I mean, it's so much like that because we just get to where we just settle. We just settled with our Christian lives. It's like, oh, we got a good little life and things are going well. We're just going to settle. Why? Why are you going to settle? There's so much awesome stuff out there that God wants us to do, that he's called us to. And I mean, even just right here in this passage of Scripture, we got like just a couple little things about taking care of the fatherless and defending the widows and, you know, encouraging the oppressed. I mean, those things alone could take the rest of our lives if we wanted them to. And you're saying, Chris, I don't have time for that. Then you're too busy. Forget about our game plan and we forget about God's. And this is our God. This is what he's called us to. This morning the band's going to come back and they're going to lead us in a couple more songs. And just so you know, this passage of Scripture foreshadows probably the most incredible thing that has ever happened in history. And when it's saying these things right here, when it says Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. This is a foreshadowing of what is going to take place and what even these folks back then were putting their sights on, although they didn't know how it was going to go down, and we now do know how it went down, and that was that Christ came to save us. And you may be here this morning, and you may just be like, you know, Chris, this is all very weird to me because the band is playing these songs, and these people are singing, and some of them are acting kind of stupid, you know, when they're singing and stuff, and they're just kind of losing themselves in this thing. And I just want you to know that they're just kind of meeting with the Lord. That's where they're at, and they're able to do that, and that's cool. And don't get freaked out by that because that's just a them and the Lord thing. They're not trying to freak you out. But you may be here this morning. You may be like, well, you know, I'm just kind of just, you know, getting to the point where I'm just seeing whether or not God wants me to be a part of his deal. And I really don't think that he can because I've done so much stupid junk in the past. And I'm just here to tell you that this passage of scripture and what happened when Christ died on the cross, when it says, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. I'm just here to tell you that God wants to forgive you. And all you got to do is say, God, I'm sorry. I realize now that I've been living in the wrong. And I want to live in the right. I want you to move in my heart. I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want you to take me over. I give you the keys to me. Take me over. Salvation has come in the form of a Savior, and his name is Jesus Christ. It's always special when you can just come and just be with the Lord. But the truth is, even though we may not prompt you like we've prompted you this morning or prompted ourselves this morning, because sometimes just getting up in the morning for us is you know, it's a matter of us getting our hearts together to spend time with God. And no matter who it's for, just know that any time that we gather together, we're gathering together for that reason. That's what this is about. I'm supposed to do announcements and stuff. I just want to pray for us. In fact, I want to pray specifically for something. The ushers are going to come in just a second, and they're going to be passing these baskets and all that stuff. And we typically do this at the end of a service, but I don't want to belittle how important the offering is as a part of our worship. Because I'll be honest with you, it could be some of the most important worship that you ever do is how you pray about what God is leading you to do there. And so I want us to pray for the offering. And as you always give, and hopefully always from the heart, I just want you to know how important it is for you to even pray over that, and that God would take that and that he would multiply it out to do just incredible things, whether it's little or whether it's big or whatever it is. And let's just pray. Let's just pray for that right now and continue our worship as we end our time together. God, we just thank you, Lord, so much for allowing us to get to be here and to worship you. And God, Lord, for anything that we give you this morning, anything that we bring to you this morning, God, as you so eloquently put it. God, I pray, Lord, that we would just get to see you do incredible things with it, because it's yours. And we want you to have it. We want you to take it. We want you to do great things with it. And so, God, as we bring it back to you, God, I just pray, Lord, that our heart would just be in the right place as we do that. And, Lord, we thank you for our time this morning, how special it's been. We love you. In your name I pray. Amen.